5. Tariana.
This is going to take forever,
Servius muttered, wiping sweat from his brow, his brown eyes uncharacteristically shadowed. Whether it was from lack of sleep or other concerns, Tariana didn't know.
We'll need some sort of containers. Half these chests have gone to rot.
No sooner had the words exited his lips, the bottom of the chest he was holding fell out, spilling coins everywhere, all of them gold and stamped with the scorpion of House Rowanus. That's odd, she muttered. Servius scooped up a handful, examining them with a practiced eye.
This is the most solid clink I've come across. Looks pure, too. Where's it from?
Mutamora on the northern continent. She rubbed her thumb over a coin. The largest gold mines on Wreath were on the Rowanus lands, which were near the border of Mutamora and Anacostre. But they don't trade with Aranoquia, so it's odd to find so much of their coinage here. And all of it freshly minted, bearing no signs of wear, which suggested an expensive purchase, and one only a high lord, or even the king himself, could afford. Shrugging, she tossed it back in the pile and set to work. It was dusty, laborious work, but there was also something soothing about it. This was what she'd trained most of her life to do. Not to sail a ship, but to be a merchant who knew wares well enough to come out ahead in every bargain. If not for the circumstances, Tariana thought her mother would be proud. At the thought of her mother, Tariana's chest constricted painfully. Was Lydia's father keeping her safe? She'd always believed Senator Valerius a kind and honorable individual, but she'd thought the same about Lydia, and she could not have been more wrong on that front. Part of her wondered if she'd ever have the opportunity to see Lydia again, what she would say to her if given the chance, if Lydia even cared how much hurt she'd caused. Is there any news from my crew? She asked Servius. Do you know if they are well? The Quincense was apparently anchored next to a tiny island off the coast with men from the 37th, as well as some from the Cell Navy, keeping her crew under guard. Before she'd dispatched Bait north, he and Magnius had been running messages back and forth, but now she had no contact with them at all, other than what the Cell deigned to tell her.
Nothing new, Servius answered. But we'll be sending supplies and some of the injured to join that outpost soon enough. I hear anything of note, I'll let you know.
She twisted a braid around one finger, grimacing at the state her hair was in without her Aunt Yetta to put in fresh braids. She looked fuzzy and unkempt, but her appearance hadn't been a priority. What would her aunt say if she knew of all the things Tariana had done? If she learned about Tariana and Marcus, would she or any of the rest of the crew understand? Was it right to ask them to? They worked through the day, only pausing when Servius's stomach let out a ferocious growl.
I'm starving, he declared to the legionnaires standing guard. One of you boys get some grub for us. Buy it from a civilian. I'm sick of the slop we're serving in camp.
He tossed one of them a coin.
Enough for all here, plus three. I've a mighty hunger.
Shaking her head to clear her thoughts, Tariana glanced at the ledger she was holding, adding the totals in her head. Already the amount was staggering, and it didn't even include the bricks of precious metals that were piling high in a building near the forge. When the food arrived, Servius called a halt to the work, leaning against a moldering tapestry, his feet resting on bolts of silk that were marked with dark stains that looked suspiciously like blood. He was easily one of the largest men she'd ever met who wasn't an actual giant. His tunic sleeves stretched around biceps thicker than her thighs. That, more than the hue of his brown skin, spoke to his Atlian heritage,
the island province known to breed people of impressive stature. That, in combination with what was undeniably an attractive face, made Servius tremendously popular with Erinoquian women.
"So," he said, "you going to tell me what happened on your way back from Galena? What we know is mostly what was ascertained from what was left behind, if you get my meaning."
Bodies of the young men who'd been watching over her, including Quintus and Mickey. Tears pricked in her eyes, knowing they'd died protecting her. "We received Marcus's message recalling us to camp, set out the next morning. We were about halfway back when Quintus noticed something was off." She shook her head, trying to wipe away the remembered fear rising in her chest. "It was too quiet. And then, next thing I knew, arrows were flying." Her chin trembled, and she took a mouthful of food to hide it, though her appetite was long gone. "Quintus got hit first, but then it was madness. There were so many of them, coming from all sides."
"How many?"
"I don't know." She shook her head. 50? Maybe more? They all wore Urkon's colors.
"Big force to commit to catching one girl with uncertain worth, no?"
Servius watched her intently, and she was reminded that he wasn't the third most senior officer of the 37th just because the men liked him.
"Especially with two legions camped on Urkon's doorstep."
This was where she needed to be careful. No one but her and Marcus knew about the traitor, and as much as she trusted Servius, it was Marcus's secret to reveal. She shrugged. "They darted me in the neck and I lost consciousness. When I awoke, I was in the hut where Marcus and Gibson found me. Their leader..."
"This the Ashok that we're looking for?"
Tariana forced herself to nod, her skin growing cold as the corrupted's face rose in her thoughts. "He told me that they intended to use me to negotiate a withdrawal, but that I was dead either way. That they were only buying time for the mercenaries to arrive."
"It's always helpful when your enemy is a big talker."
Servius picked up another skewer.
"What did he look like? Marcus passed on a few details, but the bastard has proven elusive."
"Gamdeshian," she answered. "Skin a bit darker than yours. Chin-length black hair, silver earrings running up his left ear." It was easy to provide the details, her memory of Ashok as clear as though he stood in front of her.
"Eye color?"
"Black pits encircled with flame, like staring into the heart of the underworld." But she couldn't tell him that, not when she'd kept the knowledge of the corrupted from Marcus. He already knew about healers, and if he learned about the corrupted's powers, he'd inevitably start to wonder what other secrets she was hiding. "Dark."
"I'll pass the details on to Gibson. It was his men who were killed, so he's taken the hunt on as a matter of personal interest."
He wasn't the only one. Marcus had not taken the news that he'd been betrayed by one of his men well at all. And that the traitor might be his closest friend only made it worse. But as much as it had been Marcus who'd been betrayed, Tariana also wanted vengeance. "I'm sorry for what happened." She rubbed at her eyes, her chest tight. "Quintus and Mickey were my friends. The last thing I ever wanted was them dead."
"Well then, you're in luck,"
Servius said, wiping his hands on the moldy bolt of silk he was sitting on.
"Because when I heard this story from them, they were still very much alive."